If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love that is. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is, Did Reality Peek Through Your Experiences Today? Did Love Appear? So take a minute and take that in. Did reality peek through your experiences today? Did love appear? Put your hand on your heart and put your other hand over it. And just tell yourself, this is divinity. This is love. Really feel that. Close your eyes and just use your hand on your heart as an anchor to anchor in that awareness. This is divinity. This is love. Take a deep breath and breathe right down into your heart. And again, tell yourself, this is divinity. This is love. And love and your divinity is the only reality. The only reality. You can forget everything else, but remember, you are God. You are divine. You are ever one with God. And you are love. So did reality peek through your experiences today? Did you see, think, or experience anything truly joyous? Anything uplifting, beautiful? Did you experience a moment of absolute peace where the mind was serene and completely unperturbed? Did you experience moments when you utterly forgot the world? You utterly forgot yourself? And you completely forgot your body? Did you have a moment of that today? And did you remember that you are divine? And that love alone is real and matters? You know, we're all students involved in the Divine Spirit's curriculum of learning. We're learning to see and think with God. And later, when we totally realize who we are, ask God. So we are being taught to create with and as God, exactly, which is only in loving perfection. This week was really, really great for me. Every single day, I was being taught how to create out of the higher soul consciousness as a divine creator would create. And it was completely unplanned, unpremeditated. It came upon me. I'd sort of gotten into the habit of saying, okay, God, what's up for today? What shall we learn today? What shall we study? And very often, the question will come back to me, well, what do you want to learn? What do you want to study? You know, we're sometimes too passive. We don't ask sometimes the right questions, which is why we don't get the answers. Sometimes we just have to ask for exactly what we want. And so I finally came to the point, it was like, I want to create in reality. I don't want to keep projecting the illusions that would show me a distorted, flawed world. I know that there is not an iota of evil in all of creation, because you have said that many times. There is not an iota of evil in all of creation. Sai Baba said that. Jesus has said that, and of course in miracles. We never fell. We were never cast out of the Edenic state. We were never, ever, ever seen as anything but absolutely perfect. We remain as God created us. And all of this play down here in time, space, and causation has been a dream. We dream when we wake up in the morning. We dream when we close our eyes and go to sleep. We wake up in the morning and we're still dreaming. And out of that dream, we see through the lens of fear and separation, which is completely false evidence appearing real. And the good news is it had no effect. Error cannot create, because God is absolute truth and cannot create error. You do not ever have to experience punishment, because the dream in time space left no effect on you, the real you, the divine you that has never left the heart of God. You could not leave, using a sun as an analogy, you could not leave your reality. Say, for instance, if you were the sun, and the sun sent forth a ray, that ray could not be separated from the source, any more than you could be separated from your source. Jesus goes through such intricate detail in the Course in Miracles in revealing this truth and showing us how to think and see and create as God. We have mastered creating within the projection of separation. We have mastered that. We're very good at that. In fact, every single thing, when you open your eyes and look around your room or wherever you are, that is an image your mind has made. That is an image that has been projected out of your thought system, out of your beliefs. And you alone have accorded it of value. You have named it a this and a that. And you have accorded likes and dislikes, hates and loves, all of these things. But it's an image your mind has made. And it's an image that the mind has made when clouded over by a sense of a false persona that sees only in terms of separation and fear. You know, fear and separation go together. If all you saw was yourself all around you, there'd be nothing to fear, right? So reality is peeking through our experiences, but we're going to miss it if we're constantly projecting fault-finding, criticism, blame, looking for someone or something as the evildoer, because we will project the evildoers. We project the devils, we project the hells, we project all of these parade of things that we really then feel victimized about. But we're only victimized and terrorized by our own thoughts, mismanaged, and allowed to passively go on making mischief and distorting reality, and then we look around to see who we can blame. Who can we blame? And so the spiritual path is like a mirror. It shows you who you are by what you attribute to others. You know, the ego only sees ego. Did you know that? We only see what we are. So be aware that the false self, the ego, has nothing positive or uplifting to say to you or anyone. That's how you can tell the ego is speaking, because it's going to be judgmental and vengeful and unkind. It's going to point out the false, because the false self can only see falsehood. So it's always seeking for flaws and shortcomings in yourself and in others. The false self is incapable. Listen to this. The false self, the ego, is absolutely incapable of joy and gratitude and appreciation and love. No ego is capable of love. It hates you, it hates the world, it hates everyone, because it's the very embodiment of hatred. It takes and it uses, but it never truly gives without self-gain in some way. It always has that agenda, that hook. And that which it calls love quickly turns to hate if you don't please it, if you don't fall in line, in step with its agenda. So it's the one that causes guilt to arise, and it loves to get you to feel guilty because it knows that guilt is like a blindfold that prevents one from seeing anything good and loving and kind and gracious. It sees only that which instills guilt. So the ego speaks of punishment. Punishment for sins you never committed. Errors that were never made. You have to understand that this whole foray into the world that we dream we see never really happened. It never really happened. And yet we believe it happened, and because we believe it, it is done to us, unto us as we believe, because we are creative and we cannot not be creative. It's our nature to be creative. But just know that the ego is like a cruel judge that sits in the mind as fear and never shuts up until that mind is corrected by turning it over to the divine spirit. So then you will learn to see as God sees and to think as God thinks and be aware only of the perfection and unconditional love that is. That's how you know you're thinking with God. When the mind is fully corrected, you will see all things as loving and lovable. And you will teach only love, because love is what you are. So we are in the school where the curriculum is one. The curriculum is to learn to see as God sees, to think in harmony with God's thoughts. But most of all, it is to realize that we are one. It's called the Atonement in the Course of Miracles. It's called salvation in Christianity and other schools of thought. But actually, in highest truth, it has to do with the healing of the mind. Because the mind, you see, whether it's miscreating or creating in harmony with God, is always going to create form. Because thought always produces form at some level. And then the form can be changed, which is good news. We can change our thoughts, and then the form changes accordingly. You know, we keep trying to fix the world, but you know that's impossible. When has the world been fixed in all of these thousands and millions of years? It's just a repeat of the same past, the same memories, the same history, the same story, different historical garbs. That's all. In fact, we were probably back in those millions of years in other roles that we played, but still doing the same nonsense. So we had to have a pattern interrupt. We had to have someone come into the holodeck and shift the program. We were caught in the matrix. We were caught up in the programming. We forgot who we were. We bought into the whole scenario, acting as if it were real and making it real, because as you believe, so it's done. And so the Creator sent one after another of illumined ones into our world that did not fall asleep, that were not caught up in the programming, that didn't get entrapped in the matrix. We call them way-showers, or spiritual travelers, or avatars, or mystics, or self-realized men and women. But nearly every time in the past, they were killed, because the people who were asleep resented the light coming into their darkened rooms and exposing everything. And so, different plans were instituted until Jesus came into the world and demonstrated through his resurrection that it was impossible to kill immortal love. So the message of salvation points to the resurrection, not the crucifixion. But the ego took and distorted the teachings, which made God seem incredibly cruel to send his own son to suffer and die for our sins. And that correction is brought forward in the Course of Miracles. And it's a shocker for all of us who have been taught by just about every religion that you have to suffer and die and pay for your sins. It's a Jesus really, really is uncompromising in how he reverses how we have interpreted the world and how we have been taught in religion. But he said that gross misinterpretation, that someone has to suffer and die and go through terrible torment to atone for another, has been so attractive that we don't want to give it up, Jesus said, because of its escape value. It looked like it gave us an easy out to have a scapegoat. And so we've taken that scapegoat mentality to all kinds of lengths in our world. Today, the scapegoat is probably our president or our leader or dictator or whoever, whatever you have in your country. But we will pick someone to cast our corporate vengeance upon and be riveted in on all the things they're doing wrong so that we, hopefully, don't have to deal with seeing who we are and what we are and how we've just projected the whole thing out of our mind. It's so important to realize that. My mind is being corrected too. I said it to a couple friends last week. I said, you know what? I don't believe in karma. Why in the world would we be punished for falling asleep and having a bad dream? It's illogical. And then I come to a lesson in the Course in Miracles, and Jesus basically said the same thing. Oh my gosh. How many seminars have I talked about karma? How often? Well, it's become a household word, you know, here in especially in California, but pretty much all over America. Wherever you go, you'll hear people use the word karma, dharma, what else? Meditation, mindfulness. These have become mainstream concepts. Even reincarnation, even UFOs. People are starting to, on the news, announce the appearance of UFOs now without ridiculing it. Gradually, you know, everybody's realizing, you know what, they're there, it's real, we're not alone. If they had meant us any harm, they could have done it a billion times by now. Obviously, they're more intelligent and more highly advanced technologically. So obviously, they don't mean us harm. But the ego sure did a good job of trying to instill fear and create a them versus us mentality. You got to know that that's what the ego does. It tries to divide and therefore conquer. Why do you think we're seeing this big division in our world right now? It's that old ego mind trying to divide and conquer. That, beloveds, is the old paradigm. It's finito. It's come to as far as it's going to go. People are waking up. They're marching. They're not sheeple anymore, in case you haven't noticed. People are taking to the streets by their millions. And they haven't quite got it yet that they need to correct their minds and their thoughts to correct the world. They haven't quite got that yet. But here and there, more and more people are getting it. And they are studying, whether it's the Course in Miracles or a similar teaching. Because although the curriculum is one, there's many, many forms it appears in. And you'll get the message however it's best for you to get it. The only thing that we can elect is the time that we will take the training. And that's the day that you said, God, I've had it. I've messed everything up in my life. I'm miserable. Will you help me? There's got to be another way. When you get to that point, that nose on the bathroom floor day, or in the gutter day, or wherever you find yourself in your lowest pit of despair, that's the day that everything changes for you and you get put into that curriculum, that school. And you're taught to think in harmony with love. And you're taught to see in harmony with loving. And you're taught to ask before you launch out into whatever you're going to do, if what you're going to do is in alignment with love. Is it in alignment with God? If it is, you won't have any fear. That's your key. If it's in divine order, you won't have fear. And you won't experience any form of strain or stress. So the Course in Miracles is very direct. You know, it goes right to the core of what needs to be corrected, because the only thing that needs correction is the mind. You know, it's only the mind that is the creative force. So the mind is what needs to be corrected for the harmonious creation to begin to unfold in your life. So during this week, I've been working on several things with the Divine Spirit. But one of the things is to imagine, you know, we've been imagining our divine version of heaven or the soul realm. Well, this is kind of along the same lines, but it's to create now in the third dimension by collapsing time. And when you're working out of the lower mind, out of the ego mind, and you're working out of the awareness of spirit, you're functioning in timelessness. You're not subject to time. Even though in time, it will seem like it's gradually shifting, okay? You're creating something that manifests instantly in spirit, but then it may take a little bit longer in the third dimension, although we're learning, actually, to create and collapse time in our creations. You'll be taught that. If you want to learn this, ask God to teach you, just like I'm doing. So the first thing is to imagine yourself absolutely perfect. Imagine yourself ascended, whole, free, illumined, perfect. Imagine every part of your physical body perfect. Thank yourself for every day moving into greater and greater health, vibrancy, youthfulness, beauty. You know, just really, really go out there and visualize and talk it through the day. Every time you look at yourself in the mirror, tell yourself how beautiful you are, how loved you are, how divine, how perfect. And gradually watch. I've watched, my body this last month has really felt different. It's totally starting to respond and shift to the things I tell myself every day. You know, the other thing is pick someone in your life that you have not seen in the highest light and visualize them ascended, whole and free, manifesting their radiant divinity, flourishing and prospering in every way. And then begin to visualize the world and people coming together and celebrating and building beautiful, beautiful, eco-friendly communities. We're seeing so much of this appearing now, actually, in the physical third dimension. And I believe it's because many of us are going through this school of mental correction. And we're actually having our minds transformed. And with the transformation of each mind, the world that that mind projected creates a different world. That begins to have a collective effect. It begins to lessen the darkness in the world. And since darkness is not reality, but the light is, the light causes that darkness to begin to recede and grow less and less. And that's why we're seeing many, many wonderful things coming into our world now. We're seeing actually ecosystems that are just splendid. I can remember seeing some of the, for example, the hydroponic towers that they're having now in Japan and China and different places. I actually saw that kind of growing being done in Telos, in the community under Mount Shasta when I visited there. I actually saw these hydroponic towers that rotated so that there was a constant coming of fresh produce. I saw many of these things on other planets that I visited in soul travel. So these are examples of reality beginning to peek through the nightmare of what I would call the dog-eat-dog world of commerce and warfare and politics and all that stuff. These lovely things are beginning to peek through that are part of the world that has already been created for the enjoyment of God's children. We were meant to enjoy creation with God. We were meant to delight in the things that God has prepared for us and fortunately kept safe for us. That even though we have gone into this nightmare of separation, it's beginning to wane. We're beginning to wake up. We're beginning to move into a happy dream. You don't go right from a nightmare to stark reality. It's usually too scary for people. So we slide into kind of like a happy dream where we have a really nice life. My life is really, really, really sweet, peaceful, loving, happy, joyous. I don't really have any more bad days. Just don't. And I go through the same thing anybody else goes through, but it's just that I just don't notice the bad stuff anymore. It just doesn't show up on my radar. So you'll notice that as the mind's beginning to be corrected, you have less and less bad days. You're less and less sad, less depressed. Maybe you have a moment or two in which you feel down, but then you remind yourself, oh, this is divine. This is love. This one is love. This one is divine. I've never left the heart of God. I'm home right now, feasting with the Father, dancing, joyful, free, creating worlds. One of the initiates of John Roger told the most amazing story. He asked his teacher, John Roger, how he created universes, because he was speaking of how the mystical traveler creates universes, and John Roger holds that consciousness, which we call the mystical traveler. So the next instant, this man was standing out in space amidst the stars. And there were stars under him on either side, above, below, all around him. And John Roger took his hand and his right hand, and he simulated pulling out a hangnail, and he flung it out into the stars, and it produced a big bang and an explosion. And he turned to this man and he said, "That's how you create a universe. And in the future, we will send your son to be the first mystical traveler in that universe." And that was just one experience of one initiate. I haven't had that particular experience with John Roger because I never asked that particular question. But I did ask him how to create with God and as God and in harmony with God. And so each day he has a different class for me, a different thing that we do. First of all, we go out and we exercise. We go jogging, horseback riding, surfing, circus performing, Pegasus riding, jogging. We do a full gamut of all kinds of different stunts. And we did flying trapeze the other day, which was fun because I said, "Wow, I didn't know you could do flying trapeze, JR." And he said, "At this level, you can do anything you imagine. You're not limited." And so I had to really realize that I didn't have to visualize a sequence like you do in the physical, learning something and practicing it. You can go right to the perfection of the end result of that art form or that sport, whatever it is. And you can do the somersaults and the twirls and all of that, you know, and never hurt yourself. So it was fun because I found out John Roger was a really good catcher in the flying trapeze act. He's a good catcher when it comes to the spiritual realms as well. He's not going to let you go and fall, that's for sure. So I'm having a lot of fun with John Roger, more so now that he is in spirit, also Sai Baba, than I did when they were actually in the physical body. There's a tendency when a person is in the physical body to depend too much on that physical persona. But you don't have that same thing when they're in spirit because they're omnipresent. They're not limited by their body or time or space or anything, and they're totally 100% available to you 100% of the time. So I suggest that you think of really good questions about things you would really like to know about and experience and learn. And each time when you sit down to do your spiritual exercises, go into that with the teacher. Now, sometimes he'll just knock me completely out to where I wake up and I have this whole download of information, but I can't remember it. But it comes out later, and maybe like now on my radio show. It comes out later, maybe when I'm talking to somebody or counseling them. So you don't always have to remember it in your conscious mind. And then there's other days when I'm very, very conscious. I'm out of body, I'm with him, I'm doing these things, but I'm very conscious, and I'm consciously creating. He also went all the way through the body. He showed me how to scan the body and to heal things and fix things that were out of harmonic resonance in the body by reviving them into the correct vibrational pattern that harmonized with the other organs. And to visually and physically and verbally instruct them so that you're taking charge and dominion over, so to speak, your own personal universe, your own creations. Your body would be one of them. And so begin to visualize in your reality, in your life, what you would have real, what you would experience, what you would have as that peek through of reality into your daily experiences. And work as much as you can to stay conscious. Try to become the witnessing observer of your thoughts. Don't let your thoughts run you. You pick and choose your thoughts. And he's been showing me that more and more in my daily life. I tend to be pretty mindful. It's very rare that I ever get sucked into anything less than that lately, I would say. But, you know, you have to keep at it. You have to be very vigilant. And to begin to discern the difference between the thoughts that the ego presents, which is part of your past experience, and your memories, and your habits, and realize if they're not giving you joy in some form, they're false. You know, it says that whenever we are not wholly joyous, it's because we have acted unlovingly to one of God's creations. And that includes yourself. But anything. So the only thing that we really need to be mindful of is keeping our heart opened and keep that love flowing. A very simple technique that has proven to be extremely effective in reversing all kinds of negative conditions in the physical body and the mind and the emotional states is writing down one or three. You know, if you are just beginning and never considered doing this, maybe you could start with one. But three has been the one that's been suggested. Write three things down before you go to sleep each night that you're really grateful for that happened during the day. For example, how did reality peek through your experiences today? How did love appear? How did love appear for you today? That's very, very simple. I've started doing that myself. I probably don't need to do that because I've done that actually in previous years. But I thought, you know, you can always go deeper. Even if you think that you did that before and you kind of outgrew it, take it to a deeper level. You can always go deeper. And learn immediately the minute fear arises. This is an important key that Jesus said. He said, don't ask me to help you overcome fear because I can't do that. I can only affirm your truth, which is a fact. I can't deal with what you have invented that's an illusion. In other words, he can't correct fear because it doesn't exist. What's there to correct, huh? What's there to overcome? It simply needs to be recognized as false evidence appearing real and dismiss it. And he said that's our responsibility. We have to do that. The minute it looks like fear is going to arise, you have to immediately turn it over to Jesus. Immediately. Or Sai Baba, or the mystical traveler, you put in your name of whoever your representative of God is. It doesn't matter. They don't, you know, they all appear as one at that level. So Jesus said, whenever you are afraid, it is because you have forgotten to turn everything over to me. That's a direct quote from A Course in Miracles. So fear is our responsibility to turn over to spirit, to the light. And another thing, sometimes we'll call in the light and we'll ask for the highest good in a situation, okay? But actually, in our mind, we have an expectation that that highest good is going to please us, right? The thing of it is, we have no idea what our highest good is. We have no idea, really, what our highest good is, what will benefit us truly, or really what we truly want. This is where we have to constantly be turning our mind, our thoughts, our decisions, our actions over to spirit and ask for God's point of view. Ask to see through God's eyes. Now my prayer in the morning is, dear God, may I see through your eyes. May I think with you. See through my eyes, think through my mind, touch through my hands, love through my heart, manifest as my presence. And it shifted the way that I relate in the morning when I do the attunement and prayers and whatever, to really experience myself as a conduit, as a conduit of love and grace and divinity in this world. And we can all do that. We can consecrate ourselves as a conduit of divine grace, divine love, divine presence, divine peace. You know, they're all kind of the same thing. You know, if you have one, the other comes right along with it. So these are ways that we can up our vibration and begin to step into this new paradigm as it's presenting onto the planet. We need to step up and begin to live and create from that divine part of ourself that is the knower, that is in complete attunement with God. In fact, every time you recognize a truth, it's because you knew the truth already. You're just recognizing it. So that's why you like certain things when you read them in a spiritual book or you really resonate with something we maybe are sharing, because you already knew that. You just needed to have it brought to your attention. And then you recognize it. And those are the things that really stick in your mind. You know, they're for you because you can't forget them. They keep peeking in again and again. So every time reality peeks into your life, there's going to be love appearing. There's going to be a feeling of upliftment and joy. And that's how we're meant to live. Jesus said in the Course in Miracles that our relationships are for the purpose of making us happy. How many people think of that? They want to be happy, but they don't realize that you have to match the vibration of whatever it is that you want to experience, or you can't experience it. You can't be a hateful, negative, argumentative, you know, snappy, snarky person and expect to have a happy, loving relationship. It doesn't come together. You know, in my marriage, in which my husband never, ever spoke a cross word to me, nor did I speak a cross word to him in all those years, one of the things that we did, I don't know that we even agreed to do it. It was just something that we did. We never, ever criticized each other, ever. There was never a critical word spoken, ever, ever, at any time. And we never had an argument in all of those years. But there was always a great sense of respect and honor for that person. Great sense of respect. So I think the biggest thing that we should do in a marriage is to absolutely never, ever criticize our partner. Never say anything negative, because those words go so deep. You know, you can recover from a slip of the foot, but a slip of the tongue, that's very, very hard to recover from. So I just offer that to those of you that may be in a relationship. You don't always have to agree. You can be silent. You don't always have to like. But know that you're only in that relationship to work on yourself, not your partner. And you have to accept everybody for who and what they are, warts and all. That's love. And the best relationships you'll find have that somewhere in their interaction. Of course, I would say that takes very, very evolved people. You can't be operating out of your ego and your basic self and expect to have, you know, a mature, loving, harmonious relationship. But if you keep focusing on yourself and being the person that you would like your spouse to be more like, you'll find that you have everything that you want. It's really interesting when you start giving love instead of seeking to get love. Love is all around you. When you go to a place not expecting anything, but just with a loving, open heart to enjoy yourself and enjoy the people, you'll find that you have a marvelous time and you're never disappointed. So if you don't want to be disappointed, don't have an appointment, an expectation, an addictive demand that's got to please you. It's got to be your way. Because you probably have noticed life is, just is, what is. And the more that you can just live in your own loving reality and begin to create with God the most beautiful attitude, the most beautiful visual imagery that you constantly keep company with, keep generating, keep dwelling upon, contemplating, meditating, and you absolutely resolutely turn away any thoughts that are not in harmony with that. Don't expect the world to change to be pleasant to you and pleasing to you. It's not designed to be that way. It's designed to temper and test and awaken you. And it has to do that by sometimes very unpleasant experiences. You know, the highest good, sometimes we'll ask for the highest good, and something will happen that we just totally didn't want to have happen. But instead of complaining about that, you've got to understand that that was for the highest good. It didn't please you, it didn't come out the way you thought it would. If you're mature spiritually, you'll just say, well, I trust that whatever happened was meant to happen, and you go on with your day. If you're an immature, little egocentric, basic self kind of person, you'll get all bent out of shape about that. You'll begin to blame God. God didn't hear me. God didn't do it my way. I don't think I believe in God anymore. You know, you get into the stupidville. So it's time to grow up. It's time to get off of the victim pity pot, put on your big girl and big boy panties or pants or whatever you wear, and begin to see, think, act, create, and do as the divine being you are. It's time. This is the new paradigm. This is the shift into the new consciousness. And boy, are the new kids coming in. These incredible star children are coming in by the millions. And and they're wide awake. And they're living paranormal, incredible, outstanding lives. I'll do another show on them. But just saying, the world is being flooded with the next root race. Very advanced souls from other worlds are incarnating right and left. And they come in fully enlightened and aware. Some of them are as young as 18 months old. And they're telling you where they're from and why they're here. And they're all here to help humanity. Every one of them. And then I thought back when I was, you know, a young child. I was one of those star kids, too. I was one that came in asking, when can I go home? Can I go home to my real family? And, you know, me and my parents really freaked out, but I kept saying, you know, when can I go home? You're nice, but, you know, I want to go home to my real parents. And I was awake. And I knew things that kids in my time and generation had never even heard about. Yeah, it's a new world. I'm telling you, it's a new world, and we have to really, really shift our gears now to be in harmony with it. If we want to move into this graduation wave that's carrying us now into a higher vibrational reality, we're going to have to match that reality with some serious loving kindness, some serious loving compassion. We have to develop the ability, the empathy to put our feet in the shoes of other people and to see as best we can through their point of view, through their conditioning, through their angst and sorrow and self-indictment and all the things that people go through. We've got to know that everybody is a wounded warrior when it comes to the ego self, when it comes to that false persona. But you know what? That's all that most people on the planet have ever considered to be who they are. And you and I, as light workers, as people here on Earth assignment, we are the ones that have to be the way showers, that have to be the show-and-tell artists, to show-and-tell the ways of God, to show-and-tell the ways of love, to outpicture that faith and that conviction and that steadfastness that matured spirits show forth. Who else are they going to go to have their questions answered? If you sit mum and sit on your knowledge and don't share it, how's that going to help anybody? You've got to speak. You've got to do radio shows on BBS. You have to get that knowledge, that wisdom, that knowing out there and help people. Because they don't know where else to turn. They're not being taught in religion the things that you and I talk about on the radio shows. They're not being told that they're divine, that there has been no error that they have to be punished for, that they don't have to reincarnate a bazillion times and work through their karma. You know, you have to tell them that. But if you don't go inside yourself and find out these things by working directly with spirit, you're not going to have anything much to share. You got to get in there and work it. And I can promise you 100%, it's the most fun, the most exciting adventure you ever, ever go on in your life. My God, it's fun. And you'll just be happier and happier and happier the more you give yourself away. Forget yourself, for heaven's sakes. Forget yourself. Give yourself to God. Give yourself to life. Give yourself to love. And enjoy the privilege of being a conscious, awake person on planet Earth during the greatest dimensional shift, paradigm shift in history. The age of the Holy Spirit, the age of the great revelation, the great outpouring into all flesh. And you're here. And I bet you really had to elbow your way to get in here, because everybody in the cosmos wanted a human birth at this time to experience what you and I are experiencing. So I guess we'll wind up our seminar for this evening. Begin to ask questions about what you really want to know and learn and experience, and get on with it. Have fun. And God willing, I'll be with you this time next week. Let's go out chanting on IHU, and as you do, send your love and your light to all the beings and all the worlds, particularly our planet Earth. You ready? Deep breath. On IHU. Blessings, divine love and grace to you and to all beings. May all be peaceful. May all be happy. May all awaken to the love that they are. Namaste.